The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
We can't take this madness any longer. Eye for an eye, bomb for a bomb. How can prayers for peace be answered while the battle rages on? No more, no, no more nightmares. No more, no, no more bomb scares. For the sake of the ones we love. Shalom, shalom.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Boker Tov. Excuse me. You are listening to a radio program, obviously you know that, called Jewish Perspectives on Politics and the News with Bert Siegel here in WWDB. A couple of weeks ago, I interviewed a good friend of mine, and somebody said to me, gee, what do? Only interview friends. And I said, well, it's because I have a lot of interesting friends. And today I'm interviewing a long-standing friend. Gee, Bill, you and I have known each other close to 50 years, actually, and we remain good friends in spite of having worked together. Bill was the public relations person for the Jewish Community Relations Council, and we've gone to baseball games together. We've flown all over the country together to meetings, he is now a colleague in the GOP, the PAC that I've often talked about, Democratic Jewish Outreach, which I hope you support financially. We have very important judicial elections coming. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be doing a program in the not too distant future about why judicial elections really matter. And they do. It's very, very often we say, it doesn't matter who the judge is. What do I know? Well, you may not know a whole lot about it, but it may come back to affect you in one way or another. Judicial decisions probably matter in many ways more than who our congressman is. So I will be announcing when we're going to be interviewing Mark Zucker, who is the past chancellor of the Philadelphia Bar Association. He now chairs the Bar Association's Committee for Judicial Selection and Retention. So that should be an interesting show as well. But again, this morning, we have Bill Epstein. Bill, wanting you, I mean, I know this because we've known each other a long time, although I've probably forgotten a lot of it. But Bill, why don't you tell us what made you, I mean, Bill worked on Congressional Hill. He worked for two congressmen, both those names you will certainly recognize. He worked for the mayor of Philadelphia. He worked for the Philadelphia school system. Bill, think of in football terms, were both offense and defense. Bill was the staff member for a number of elected officials, but also he was the government affairs rep for Bill. He'll tell us a little bit, but Bill, who is Bill Epstein? Why don't you tell us a little bit about that first?
You make it sound like I can't keep a job. First of all, it's great to be with you this morning, Bert. Yeah, I came out of Penn State's journalism school with a degree in journalism and went to work for the Philadelphia Bulletin, the long departed newspaper now. But I left the newspaper a couple years before it closed when I got an offer to go to work on a political campaign. A gentleman by the name of Hardy Williams, who was a state representative at the time, was running for mayor. And a lot of people at the Bulletin said, kid, what are you doing? This is nuts. He's not going to win. And I had been at the Bulletin for about 3 years, and I just wanted to see things from the other side. Hardy's campaign intrigued me, and I really didn't do it because I thought he was going to win, but I thought I could always come back to newspapers. And actually never did until just recently as editor of a community council newspaper that I publish every month here in East Falls, Philadelphia. But that led me to a career in public relations and government affairs. And you know, I can't complain. I tell my children that if they enjoy their careers half as much as I have mine, they're going to be happy people. And I mean that seriously.
And you work for a number of good people, too, which feels good when you work for an elected official who you respect. And remember, you got me involved in Hardy's campaign. Hardy was a good guy.
Right. And sure. We did that campaign for about 7 or 8 weeks until Election Day. And, you know, I remember people at the Bulletin telling me, oh, he's not going to get more than 4 or 5,000 votes because no black candidate had run a terribly serious campaign for mayor up until then. And Hardy ended up getting 50,000 votes. It wasn't anywhere near enough to win, but it was a serious campaign. And he, of course, went on to have a successful career as a state senator later on, and unfortunately passed away a number of years ago. But that led me into politics. And because of that, I went to work for, as you said, two U.S. congressmen. The first was Josh Eilberg from Northeast Philadelphia. And he unfortunately lost his campaign in 1978. And that was the same year that Bill Gray beat Robert Nix for his congressional seat. So I had some people, including you, Bert, who went to Bill Gray, who said, you ought to talk to this guy. He knows Philadelphia. He knows the Jewish community, and he can do press work. So Bill fortunately hired me, and the rest was history. I worked for him for a total of about 6 years.
And the interesting thing about Bill is because, you know, you did work for the Jewish Community Relations Council, but right. Bill was a good friend of the Jewish communities. Remember, Bill started Operation Understanding of bringing together Jewish kids and African-American kids to get to go to Africa and Israel together. So again, it really, really kind of fit who you were because, you know, you're very Jewish and you really cared about civil rights. And Bill, you know, went on to become a national leader. So
it's funny you mentioned that because I remember writing the first news release for Operation Understanding, which was the program you're talking about that took black kids and Jewish kids for a couple weeks during each summer and took them to important sites in Jewish history and civil rights history. I believe they went to Israel once or twice. It turned out to be an important program to
Africa too, as well as
Africa too. Yes, absolutely. I then along the lines picked up an MBA at Wharton, which is something that I wanted to do, and went into the private sector. Worked for Amtrak until their economic situation laid off 8,000 people, me included. Laid my whole staff off, laid my boss off. It was a disappointment. But I ended up working for the School District of Philadelphia for 4 years and then got a job as a director of communications for United Food and Commercial Workers Local 1776, where I spent my last 7-8 years before I retired 10 years ago as director of communication. It was a very formative experience and one that I enjoyed, and I'm still close with a lot of my 1776 colleagues. And Wendell Young, who's president, Wendell Young IV, who's president of the union, and they're doing well also. So
you've really, you have spent pretty much all your adult life being involved in politics one way or another.
Pretty much.
And as I said, being kind of on both sides of the issue, both as an advocate, a spokesperson, et cetera, there have been profound changes, I think, the American political culture, which you've seen firsthand. I mean, it's not, you haven't learned about these stories, you were involved in these stories. Right. So is it fair to say that things are different today?
Oh, for sure. You know, I think.
What are those changes?
Yeah, I think back when I worked for Bill Gray, and I remember that after the workday was done, he would go out to play basketball with Jack Kemp, who was his Republican counterpart on the Budget Committee. He would go out and play basketball with him and other members of Congress. Then they would go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. Today, I doubt that many Democrats and Republicans are playing basketball together or having dinner together.
If I could interrupt you, I remember once Bill saying that he took pride in the fact, as he said, the congressman you mentioned was, I believe, from Buffalo. And I remember Bill said, what's good for Philadelphia is good for Buffalo. We disagree about a lot of things, but we're both trying to help the people who put us here. Well, you're exactly right. If a member of Congress said that today, a lot of people say, well, I can't vote for that person.
Right, right. And I kind of, you know, over the last 20 years, as the far right has ascended a little bit, I blame, you know, the people who say, if you don't agree with me, you don't deserve to exist. That seems to be the attitude. I could frame it in stronger words, but I won't. But, you know, we need to learn how to get along and understand each other and learn from each other and see each other for the values that we have. In spite of, we can still have differences. That's what makes the world go round. I do think back about, you know, how Bill socialized with Jack Kemp and other Republicans. And there was not this almost hatred, I would say.
Not almost.
And for people who are, quote, on the other side. And it's all part of, you know, Trump has exacerbated the situation by otherism. That if you don't agree with him, you're foreign. You come from somewhere else. You don't belong here. It's very distressing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any hope? I mean, do you think younger people? I mean, you know, you have a son and daughter. Although your daughter lives in Africa, but you have a son and daughter.
I do have hope about
politics has probably been adversely impacted upon by what you're describing.
Yeah, but you're right. But I do have hope. Maybe it's, you can see the glass is half full or half empty. But, you know, Trump won by, in spite of his claim that he had a mandate, he didn't have any kind of mandate at all. He won by a very small margin. It doesn't look as though 50% of the voters voted for him. They certainly didn't vote for him 4 years ago or 8 years ago in a mandate fashion. He won. I'm not saying he didn't win fair and square. He doesn't have a mandate, and so I'm confident that the Democrats can regain their footing and come back strong in the midterm elections here in 2 years, less than 2 years now. So I'm optimistic. It'll take some work. It always does. Nothing happens in politics by chance. But we should be in good shape. I mean, the fact that yesterday, it's ironic that we're doing the show today, because yesterday, of course, was the fourth anniversary of January 6th, which in my view should be a national holiday. We should close down in recognition.
Good day of mourning, him.
In mourning. I recall I was over at my gym, and as I finished my workout that day, that fateful day, I came out and there was a television on, and I said, what the heck's going on there? It was, you know, mid-afternoon or something like that. And I saw what was going on, and somebody explained to me they had been watching. And as I was transfixed, of course, having worked on Capitol Hill for 7 years and walked those same hallways and sat in those same offices and sat in the House chamber, I was transfixed by the ugliness and the violence, the hatred that was being expressed, the absolute violence against our nation. I came home and I told my wife I couldn't go upstairs and take a shower. I was so uncomfortable. I just couldn't be comfortable. It was a cold winter day here. I came home and took my shower. I just couldn't do it there. At the gym, because I was so upset about what I was watching, and I came home, of course, and finished watching it. It was a very, very ugly scene, and the effort that the MAGA people make to rewrite history. I mean, when I heard a Republican congressperson say, oh, what are we worried about? It was just another day of tourism on Capitol Hill. Let me assure you, I worked on Capitol Hill for 7 years. That was not a day of tourism by any stretch of anybody's imagination. It was ugly in all capital letters. Ugly, ugly, ugly.
Are you hopeful that the kinds of relationships I remember Bob Borsky once saying something about, you know, congressman, I think from Jersey, oh, who he would take the train back from D.C. with.
Right.
And that the wives were friendly. And so it's, you know, what you're describing, you know, Bill's being able to play basketball with Republicans. And again, Bill talking positively about the fact that he was able to work with Republicans to benefit the people who put him in Congress.
Right.
Are you hopeful? Do you think it is possible for newer members to learn how to at least live with each other? Or have we gone too far?
Well, as I said before, I am hopeful. I mean, the challenge for the Democratic Party is to find out why 19 million people less voted for, roughly 19 million people less voted for Kamala Harris than voted for Joe Biden. And that's the main reason she lost. And they were all kinds of people. So I'm not trying to point the blame to any one community, because it doesn't belong in any one community. It's across the board. But I'm hopeful that we can figure out a way to make those folks understand, or get them to understand, I should say, that politics is important to our everyday life. And if you think you can afford to sit on the sideline, I mean, look, I'm sure you would say the same thing. Nothing frustrated me more than to hear people say, oh, I'm not voting for either of them. It's like saying my vote is too good for either of those two candidates.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bunch of baloney, and I'm being polite in my language. That's a bunch of baloney. You know, your vote is one of the most sacred things that you have. And to say that, there was a huge chasm of difference between these two candidates in 2024, and to say that neither of them murdered your vote, I tell people, and I hesitate to say this, but I really do think we're in an era of know-nothingism. For people to say that there's no difference between the two candidates, they don't know nothing, we haven't had an era of that kind of know-nothingism here in the United States.
Well, let me ask you, because what is it attributed to that? I mean, one of the things that bothers me is how people get their, quote, information that is so packaged to appeal. I mean, young people in particular who say, well, you know, I get my information online
Sure. Well, there's no question. So many people get their information only from Fox News or only from MSNBC. The problem is Fox News is lying. If that's the only thing you hear, you're going to get a different perception. So the Democratic Party and progressives, and I don't regard either of those as nasty names, we have to figure out a way to motivate those folks to come back to voting. I think we can do it. I think what politics teaches us anything, it's a swing back and forth. And I actually think that a lot of the folks who voted for Trump didn't vote for him because they're Republican. They voted for them because they're MAGA people. Mm-hmm. And I think that if the Democrats take their time now and figure out how we can get those folks back into the fold. You know, when I worked for the union, we used to have a saying amongst the staff. We used to tell our members, don't vote against your own interests.
Yeah.
And so many folks do that because they just don't take the time to figure out. It's easier to blame somebody and move on. Well, blaming somebody doesn't solve a problem. Hard work solves problems.
You were so right. I mean, Josh, my son Josh, often talks about, I mean, he doesn't get involved in politics. He is a political junkie. And he says, one of the things that really drives me crazy is people who feel strongly about something but know very little about it.
Right. That's, you're absolutely right. That's the same thing.
Talking about what was happening vis-a-vis Israel, Josh's attitude is, well, there are plenty of reasons to be critical of policies of the government of any country.
Sure.
But people who think they know something about Arab-Jewish relations or the history of the creation of the state and therefore are sympathetic, at least, to Hamas, he said, that's purely ignorant. I mean,
right. Sure.
But it's not only that. I think that carries through in a lot of things. People think they are informed, and that affects their political behavior. And right. Sometimes a political decision can be dangerous for all of us, which we see right now.
Absolutely. Every once in a while, I turn on Fox just because I want to know what they're saying. And it's enough to make you sick to the stomach. They lie. I mean, look what's going on right now with Elon Musk. He's meddling in England's politics.
Germany's as well.
Germany's all spreading lies. I mean, just straight out lies about what's going on over there and the positions that people have taken, doing the same thing that Donald Trump has done for the last X number of years. Donald Trump started lying, about the park shooting, killing in New York City. How many years ago was that? We were all a lot younger then, and he was lying then. And he doesn't give a whit.
If anything, he's gotten better at lying. You
know? Yeah, absolutely. Much more polished. Yep. No question about it. And a lot more lies, too. And that's what Elon Musk is doing. There's a story in the Inquirer this morning about how he's meddling in politics there, just absolutely distorting people's position, rewriting history. And it's clear that Trump and the MAGA folks are trying to rewrite what happened on July 6th. January 6th, to think it was just another day of tourism. Just look at the video. My God, people bashing in windows isn't a normal day of tourism. Not the way I learned.
Or threatening to kill the vice president of the United States.
Oh, threatening to, or attacking police. What happened to the Republican Party that supported police and law enforcement? And instead, they're battling police on the Capitol Hill grounds.
Well, I've known you a long time, and you're generally an optimistic person. I, like you, believe that the Democratic Party can and will and should make a comeback in a lot of ways. I mean, in local races, school board races, et cetera, but certainly in the presidential and congressional races. Who do you see? I mean, obviously, there have been candidates who have run for president and lost and then run again. Adlai Stevenson lost twice. Do you have a candidate that you think should be the next Democratic nominee for president?
I don't have a candidate. But I think that, as you say, the Democrats have a list of people that would make great presidents, men and women. Yes. Gretchen Whitmer, Gavin Newsom, Josh Shapiro. There are any number of people. What I hope that the Democratic Party can avoid is primary fights that leave the party weakened. But look, that's politics. That's democracy. You have a right to run, and you have a right to state your position. And that's up to the candidates to decide how they conduct themselves. But we have some good candidates out there. I don't think the party should think that it's devoid of good candidates.
How much do you think the fact that Harris was African-American play? Because look, Barack Obama won twice, so it's not like it's impossible for a black person to win. But a lot of people say, it's a result of the fact that she was black.
I've never understood how people can say, but going back to to answer your question, going back to 8 years ago, we heard people say, I voted for Obama twice, but now I'm voting for Trump. That is the most disconnected thing I've ever heard. But it's true. I think some people, people said it. Now, whether it was true or not, I don't know. I don't know whether those people actually did vote for Obama once or twice, but that's what they said. I think that the translation there was, I'm not a racist.
My impression is a number of those people stayed home rather than voting for Trump.
Well, that happens too. But how do you vote for Barack Obama twice and then stay home? That doesn't make any sense either.
I don't understand staying home. You know what? Don't forget, I come from northern New Jersey where even dead people voted. So I struggle.
Hey, I always thought that voting was fun. It's not an imposition on one's time. It's something you should do because it controls your life. Politics controls your life.
Well,
if you don't vote, Don't complain.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but I mean, I often have that argument with people say, well, I'm independent. I said, oh, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Why don't you cut off one of your arms as well? I said, so in other words, you think voting is you allow somebody else to pick. You have one or two choices. One of them you're not going to vote for because you're, you know, it's firm Democrat or Republican. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Being independent. I don't get it.
No sense at all. I think it goes back to what I was saying about know-nothingism.
Yeah. Yeah. And arrogance. You're right. You know, you made a very interesting point about it. Well, I'm too good to get involved in that. Yeah, right. Okay. You're too good to get involved in picking who is going to be making decisions that are going to affect you or your children everything that matters to you. The environment, world peace, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
I only care about pro football. That's what really matters.
You never heard anybody say, I don't care which team wins.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, every once in a while. I mean, if the
I'm a fan, but I don't care if the Eagles win. That's ridiculous, you know.
Hey, you know me. I still bleed Dodger blue. I'm waiting for them to come home to Brooklyn.
They're coming back. I know they're coming back, right?
So, do you have any advice in our remaining few minutes? Again, you were somebody really. Really understands the American political system and have lived in it for many years.
You know what, Bert? My advice and my hope is that people get involved. There's any number of ways that you can volunteer. The Democratic Party here in Philadelphia needs good, new, young blood, old blood, needs all kind of good blood. And there's lots of ways to involve, volunteer in your community. There's so many ways that people can get involved. They don't have to sit home.
And they could support Democratic Jewish Outreach of Pennsylvania. Back when you and I put a lot of our time into, and it's it really does matter. Anybody who says it doesn't matter is I think putting a curse on future generations, because what happens today, the impact is going to last long after Donald Trump is no longer president.
That's for sure.
All right. Well, look, you know what? It's always a pleasure seeing you.
Great to be with you.
And, we will. We have a meeting coming up pretty soon of our PAC. But please pay attention to politics. Don't think about politics. Think about what kind of America we want. And politics has a profound impact on what kind of America we want. But thank you.
Take care, Mark.